I smile and say, "No problem. Imagine that around each of you is drawn an invisible circle, encompassing all your recreational interests and sources of enjoyment. Within each of your circles, there are bound to be some interests that overlap. You may not enjoy these equally, but to some degree they please both of you. Once you find these sources of pleasure, you have your overlapping area of interest to pursue together." Next, I ask couples to complete my recreational enjoyment inventory. It's a list of 125 recreational activities with space to indicate how much a husband or wife likes or dislikes each one. Couples can add activities to the list that are not included and rate them as well. When the inventory is completed, the activities that have been rated enjoyable by both husband and wife are identified. This exercise usually produces a list of 10 or 15 activities the wife and the husband can enjoy together. In the weeks to come, I ask them to schedule these activities into their recreational time. Some of these choices will be things he may like a bit more than she does, and vice versa. But in every case, they will both be depositing love units as they spend recreational time together. No one can do everything he or she would like in life. There's just not enough time. Every person's recreational time amounts to making choices that will leave out other opportunities. Why not select those activities you can share? Can a wife be her husband's best friend? When a couple draws up their master list of mutual enjoyable activities, there are many surprises. Some are activities that neither have ever experienced before. They simply sounded like they might be enjoyable. Other surprises are activities that the couple didn't realize were mutually enjoyable. They both thought the other disliked doing them. But another type of surprise is finding that something they are already doing together is unpleasant for one of them. What are they to do with that activity? My policy of mutual appeal covers that situation. Engage in only those recreational activities that both you and your spouse can enjoy together. It's a tough rule, but one that I insist must be followed by couples who come to me for counseling. Not only does it rule out some activities that you may be doing together, but it also rules out all recreational activities that you are doing apart that only one of you enjoys. You can probably imagine the abuse I've taken to even suggest such a thing. It means, for example, that a husband might have to give up Monday night football. Men who thought I was trying to help them out by encouraging their wives to join them in their favorite activities are faced with the prospect of abandoning those activities entirely. I've lost the respect of many potential converts on this one. Many have felt that I've gone too far. But once you think it through, you have to agree with me, at least on principle. If you were to find recreational activities that both you and your spouse could enjoy together, just as much as you enjoy your favorite activities now, it would definitely improve your feelings for each other. And that's the goal I'm after. What's more important, the quality of your marriage or Monday night football? In some cases, that's the choice you have. You can't do everything. Out of thousands of possible activities, there will probably exist only a few hundred that my wife and I would enjoy thoroughly. I cannot possibly do all those hundreds of things that my wife and I would enjoy. Why, then, should I waste my time doing the things my wife finds no pleasure in? This policy of engaging in only mutually appealing activities is not a summons to a lifetime of misery and deprivation. It simply means choosing activities I already enjoy by taking my wife's feelings into account. Why should I wish to gain at her expense when we can gain together? Although some marriage counselors might not agree with me, I believe that a husband and wife should be each other's best friend. Some would say that you cannot force this kind of issue, but the principle I've introduced in this chapter does indeed force a husband and wife to be best friends through the sheer time they spend with each other. My policy of mutual interests only says a husband and wife cannot engage in most recreational activities unless they share them. The only exception to this rule allows the husband or wife to engage in some activity that helps achieve an important goal that's agreed to with mutual enthusiasm. A key example here would be time spent with children. In our own family, Joyce has greatly supported the time I spend with my son in recreational activities. Steve and I have learned scuba diving together. We've also gone snowmobiling, soaring, hunting, and skiing. Joyce has never expressed or felt any resentment when I have been out together with Steve in these recreational pastimes. Even though Joyce and I were not physically together in these activities, we achieved an important mutual goal, good parenting. Because of that, she could feel genuinely happy about my activities. The same was true when Joyce helped our daughter, Jennifer, develop her interest and ability in horsemanship. They spent hundreds of hours together attending horse shows throughout the state. Once again, I completely supported her efforts, since through them, she too achieved the goal of good parenting.